It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, art, entertainment, food topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
And a great big gobble, 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 neighbors. Welcome to the BTS Mix Show. I am your host, Doc Hancock, and joining me, as always, I'm sure the stuffing and turkey-loaded Mr. Spencer Tracy. How are you, sir?
Oh, man. I've got such a food hangover from this weekend. Sweet potatoes and turkey. And for our UK and Aussie listeners, Thanksgiving is a time when we basically just throw caution to the wind. How about you, Doc?
Oh, yeah, man. I was having meat nightmares after that Thanksgiving. the turkeys were attacking me in my sleep. It was not good, but a great time and good food.
We're starting the month till Christmas, or actually a little bit less than a month till Christmas. And what to get that person on your gift list, that would be the new Above Top Secret book by Jim Mars.
Yeah, absolutely. Go pick that up, drop that in someone's stocking, and I'm sure they will love you forever.
Or at least get some discussion going about conspiracy theories and everything else. The guy sent us copies of the book, loved it. They were talking about stuff in their doc that I didn't even know there were conspiracies about.
Yeah, they really dug deep, and it's a very insightful book, to say the very least. And Jim Mars always does really tremendous, excellent work. So that's a high recommendation on the Christmas gift list for everyone.
All right, now that we've sold some books, let's start the BTS Mix Show number 36.
Once again this fall, it will shine into millions of homes.
You're listening to the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
Yeah, I know. I can't turn this off.
Hooray, number 36, and while we're in the spirit of Christmas, Access Denied has posted a bit of a quiz for everyone, and I thought this was fitful and to get people in the mood. And hey, if you don't celebrate Christmas, that's all right. You can answer these questions anyways. And so what I think we'll do, Spencer, is I'll just ask you these questions, and you answer them as honestly as you can, and we'll take it from there. Again, this is from Access Denied, and this is the Tis the Season quiz. So here we go. What was your best Christmas ever?
Probably my fifth Christmas.
When you were 5 years old, okay.
When I was 5 years old, because I remember my dad actually was in the kitchen at that point having a cup of coffee and heard me get up and was wishing bye-bye to Santa at that particular moment. And boy, I knew I was just going to get to see Santa. So I ran outside, and it was freezing. So I ran back inside, and then I looked under the tree, and it's like, whoa, a race car set. This is like the coolest thing on the planet. Yeah, that's definitely one of those things that's burned into my little memory.
And I suspect this goes into question number two. Best gift ever, was it the race car set?
Actually, the best gift ever for Christmas, the Verti Bird set. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Verti Birds, but it's basically something to put an eye out with. It's a little helicopter with no shroud around the blade that you would fly around in a circle because it's tethered to this little stand in the middle, and you would be able to pick up little people with a little hook, and you would fly it around in a circle, and I basically wore two of those things out in 1 6-month period. But if you flew it too close, that blade would hit you right between the nose, you know, because kids do stupid stuff, and I can remember it just kind of caught me right on the bridge of my nose when I was seeing how close I could get the blade, because, you know, I'm also with a kid that almost set the garage on fire. And but that was probably one of the best Christmas gifts I remember that at the time I was just so excited and just so pumped about.
Yeah. And what was the worst gift ever, which is question number three?
Worst Christmas gift ever, probably at the office. I would say when you play white elephant games and everybody gets their feelings hurt, that's kind of a bad, even if you get something that's okay, it kind of puts a sour note on the whole event. So that's a memory. Yeah.
Well, this is pretty evident since you live in West Texas. Snow or no snow?
Oh yeah, I would love snow. It's rare that we get any snow for Christmas, but it does happen occasionally.
Maybe this year. Favorite holiday drink?
Definitely eggnog with a good single malt scotch mixed in.
That sounds good. Your favorite Christmas carol?
There's just a whole list of Christmas carols that I could probably pick out. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful, or but the rockin' version. Yeah.
Nice. All right. And then an ethical question. Do you re-gift?
Yes.
Yeah. I think everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're out of state.
Yes, yes. They're just some gifts. They're just so crappy, and you don't, you know, the whole fun of buying a gift is that, you know, it's obviously something that fits the other person, and I'm almost insulted. Like, I'd rather you just not get me anything than get me something that you're either not sure that I would like or pretty sure that I won't like.
So. Yeah, but there's other things that, you know, you get for Christmas, and they may not be the perfect gift for you, but you're going, wow, you know, who would really like this at Christmas time? I mean, this entire Argyle sock thing, my dad would love, you know. Well, that's my excuse anyway, but you kind of get the gist there. If you get something that's kind of bizarre, there's always somebody you know that would love it.
Yes, yes. Well, if you have answers to these questions, and there are many more that we did not cover, please hop on to the General Chit Chat forum and go to Tis the Season Quiz. And a lot of people so far have written in. Skeptic One has written in, Rush, Carl Hungus, all of our good friends, Solar Sky, all of our good friends here at BTS are writing in, and we recommend you do the same as well. And the last question is my favorite. Do you really like fruitcake?
I was going to ask you that. I'm not a big fan of fruitcake. I'm one of these people that sends it to a friend, and then they send it back to me the next year, and then I send it back to them the next year. No, not a fruitcake person. How about you?
Well, see, I like fruitcake because it's good for, common household applications. For example, if you have a tile that comes loose in the bathroom, you can use it to spackle the tile to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a hole in your tire, you can use it to patch that up. It has very a plethora of uses around the house, none of which involve sitting on my plate and going into my belly.
Okay, well, I've got some questions too then. There's still some on this list that I want to ask you. Do you have a holiday office party?
Yeah, last year I did, and I enjoyed a single malt scotch, probably to a bit of excess, and that was a good time.
Now, can you tell me the most embarrassing event that ever took place at one of your office parties? Not necessarily to you. It could be about anyone. We just won't use names.
Oh, geez. Somebody threw up last year. I guess that's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, I guess that's bound to happen when there's, you know, an open bar and much booze flying around.
Okay, one more question. Your favorite holiday tradition, Doc?
Oh, my favorite holiday tradition. Well, my parents and I, this all started, my parents one night were traveling, and they got stuck somewhere in the snow, and it was Christmas Eve, and they had to stop in somewhere and get some food. So they went to this Chinese restaurant and ended up having wonton soup on Christmas Eve. And ever since then,
this sounds a lot like the Christmas story.
Yeah, they cut the head off the duck. And ever since then, we've done wonton soup for Christmas Eve, and it's a great tradition. I love it. And, you know, my dad and I make the wontons together, and it's a little bizarre, but I think it's kind of fun and unique, and I always look forward to it every year because I do love some wonton soup.
That is so cool. That is a neat tradition and a cool story too. The girls and I all put on our pajamas on Christmas Eve and grab some eggnog without alcohol because we're going to be driving, and we will drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, there's not much else to do here in West Texas. So that pretty much, you know, list of things to do today. Let's go look at some Christmas lights and watch the grass go. Christmas lights.
Well, it's Christmas time. Might as well go look at some Christmas lights. Well, staying on the theme of Christmas, there was an interesting article, and I actually saw this all over the wires today, and I thought it was kind of interesting. And this is in our general chit-chat forum posted by Carl Hungus. And it says the 12 days of Christmas items would cost $86,609. So if you were to actually go out and purchase all of the 12 days of Christmas, you know the song. It's mocking bells, hey, French hens, too. Yeah, you know the song. And if you were to go out and actually purchase all those items, it would cost you $86,609. So that's kind of interesting.
I like the McKenzie Brothers, 12 days of Christmas. Like, good day, like, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
Yeah, like a beer.
And then some toque, some back bacon, some topel, and smokes. Yeah.
So, a couple packs of smokes, 5 packs of smokes.
The economists were saying, this Christmas is going to be awful. And it turns out that Black Friday was actually up like 3% over last year. So it's almost like people are beating the drums going, oh, it's a dead economy. And everybody else is going, really? Okay, well, we're still going to buy, and we're still going to do Christmas regardless, and the economists are just perplexed about that. And then the market goes, well, we just can't believe that. We're just we're just going to be a bad economy anyway.
Well, but here's something to consider, though, as I poop on your Christmas tree.
Thanks.
The advertising budgets were up 25% this year for Black Friday, and prices were cut so low to attract shoppers that retailers would have to sell three times as much as they normally would in order just to even break even. So at the end of the day, it's all about profit, and it's all about if you're making money as a business. And while it's great if you have, you know, oh God, did you hear about that story in Long Island where a man was killed?
Yeah, crazy.
From the people trampling in. This was on, I think this was on ATS, and I was literally shocked when I read that. And then what was even more shocking is they said that people were upset when they had to close the store down because someone died. And I realize this is becoming a bit of a rant, but can you imagine that? You know, I realize you want to save a couple bucks on your TV or your Blu-ray player or whatever you're getting this year. But, I mean, come on, folks. Do we really need to kill people? They said a woman even had a miscarriage because she was trampled. This is just disgusting.
Well, it is. And the problem is, again, we're talking about advertising. You can beat that drum. It's like, deal, deal. You're never going to get a deal like this. You've got to go spend some money. And you forget what the true meaning of Christmas is. It doesn't have anything to do with that. And don't even get me started on the paganization of Christmas time, from taking it from a holiday and turning it into something. Even the holiday itself isn't necessarily when Christ was born. It doesn't. The Bible never says what day Christ was born, but they turned this into a materialistic that people. That's the only thing. What can I get? What can I do? And they've totally missed the whole thing of Christmas. And soon Doc, I'm going to tell you about something that's in the Bible that would shock most Christians, that would shock most Christians about Christmas, about trees, about the end times. And I'm not against Christmas. Believe me, I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm just saying there's so many people that have lost focus of what this holiday is all about, what it's supposed to represent, and they've turned it into a shopping spree. And when, like you said, when people get trampled and people are upset, well, I can't do my shopping because somebody died. What inconveniences me, and we don't have a clue as Americans what it's like over the rest of the world. We're just greedy, consumption-oriented morons. And I'll raise my hand there.
Sounds good. Well, on that note, sir, let us move on to our next thread and hopefully maybe cheer things up a little bit. General chit-chat form, do you have a favorite Christmas movie? Mine personally is A Christmas Story. I love that movie.
The Muppet Christmas Carol, which I bought after I trampled someone at Walmart the other day.
Did you get a good deal on it at least?
Hell yeah, you bet I did. The Muppet Christmas Carol, I used to watch it like twice a year. I'd watch it at Christmas time and then I would watch it again in June or July in the middle of summer just for fun. I love any of the Christmas Carol movies, whether it starred George C. Scott or Patrick Stewart did a nice Scrooge, or even Scrooged with Bill Murray is a great one. And I think Will Ferrell's Elf is a classic already.
Oh, yeah, that's great, and that's always fun to watch every year. And, of course, you know, there's a million Christmas movies out, and they're all kind of fun. They all get you in the mood, and they're all it's A Wonderful Life, for example, one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Great movies.
My wife has to watch that every single year. I mean, it doesn't matter if the world crashes, we have to stop and watch Jimmy Stewart, Mary, you know, and A Wonderful Life.
Mary, kids, and Zuzu's Pebbles. Yeah.
And some people love The Grinch. You know, The Grinch Stole Christmas. Any of the classic stop-motion animation ones. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That monster used to scare the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah. It was scary. But, oh, yeah, those were just great movies. Those little stop-animation things. Awesome.
So, if you have a favorite Christmas movie or you'd like to get some ideas about what you'd like to watch this holiday season, make your way over to Do You Have a Favorite Christmas Movie? What Is It? Located in the General Chit Chat Forum, and we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix Show in just a second.
This is Dave Rabbit. My partner Johnny Anonymous and I are the hosts of the ATS Mix Show on AboveTopSecret.com. Along with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock with the BTS Mix, and Martin Bain and Homer Fife with the Above Politics Show, we have all made it extremely easy to subscribe to all of our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, when clicked, will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, your subscription helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come join us all. Deny Ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and yours truly, Dave Rabbit. Deny Boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And Deny Apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Homer Five. Be part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
We asked you what you thought of the BTS mix.
Bad, immoral, and wrong.
I guess we must be doing something right. Now back to Spencer and Doc.
Piping hot and delicious.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy, along with my co-host, Doc Hancock.
That is right, Spencer, and very exciting this week. We are getting together with the ATS family, our good friends over at the ATS Mix Show, and of course, the Above Politics Show, and we're all going to have a little shindig. It's going to be fun.
You're going to get to hear some backstory and some interesting things about all the shows. It's going to be a little conference call with all of us, the folks over at Above Politics, of course, the ATS Mix, and right here at the BTS Mix. I can't wait to hear some of the stories about, you know, technical issues and ideas for the shows and how certain things came about and what goes on behind the scenes of the podcast that we do on the Above Networks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great time, and it's always fun to get together with those guys, and it always ends up being a blast regardless.
And be looking for that show posted soon on Above Networks LLC, whether that's below Top Secret or above Top Secret too.
That is correct. And speaking of the boys over there at ATS, there's an interesting article here posted by Schrodinger's Dog. And as we all know, Robbie Williams is a famed pop musician, but he's also a fan of ATS here, and he's gone on a couple alien hunting trips with the guys over there. And Schrodinger's Dog found an interesting article in the Daily Star, and the title of the thread is Daily Star Misreports Robbie Williams Hunts Aliens on Jet Ski with ATS. And the article says, wacky flying saucer hunter Robbie Williams is set to go looking for unidentified submerged objects instead. Tired of scanning the skies for UFOs, the 34-year-old is now planning to look for aliens beneath the waves. The LA-based Angel Star will hire jet skis and go on a 35-mile trip with his mates to spot sea-dwelling extraterrestrials. Robbie announced his plan to bosses at the AboveTopSecret.com, to which he is a frequent visitor. And Schrodinger's Dog says, when did that happen? Any hoot, this is pretty cool, though. I would reconsider the jet ski idea. I'm sure so can spring for a nice little sea ray. Another great adventure. Can't wait to hear more details. Way to go, guys.
I found this morning, too, Doc. I mean, I ran across this one. It was posted on Anomalous, and then I clicked there, and I read at the bottom, Above Top Secret. And wow, and then somebody had already posted. They'd read it earlier, and I was like, wow, nobody told us about it. I want to rent a fishing boat. I want to go with them.
That's great. Well, that's good fun. Jet skis, Robbie Williams, and aliens. You really can't beat that combination.
And do some fishing in the process. Can you imagine hooking a UFO? That would be sweet.
That would be pretty sweet. Oh, man, I got a big one.
We knew that about you, Doc.
Easy now.
Say hello to my little friend!
All right, we're going to jump over to the general chit-chat forum again and show us your kitties. This is posted by Nerbot. Yes, folks, it's time to show us your furry friends. I've just been creating my annual calendar, which I usually give as Christmas presents for my family and friends, and I thought I might give members an introduction to my best friends, which are featured in my annual gifting, along with scenery and pics of my house and garden and my three beautiful kitties, and then goes to post some great pictures of his kitty cats.
Yeah, and they are cute. Looks like he has two full-grown cats, Princess and Duke, and then Squidge, it's a picture of Squidge as a kitten. Man, what a cute little cat that is.
You know, it's always fun to see other people's pets. And cat people are kind of different. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm more of a dog person, but I have a cat that loves me and talks to me every day. Not in words, but, you know, meow, 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 meow. And just I'll ask him a question and he'll meow back to me or give me a kiss on the nose. But it's kind of cool to see some of the pictures. I love the black and white cats with the little mustaches. If you go down to Semper Fortis, he's got some great little pictures down there. And they did the second picture of a bandit has got this little, looks like mustache and goatee on this cat. It's the cutest thing. You got to see this.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been to this site, but it's pretty hilarious. It's cats who look like Hitler, and I think the website is catswholooklikehitler.com. And there are all these different cats, and they all have the little, you know, thin mustache on the upper lip. And man, that's a funny website, I got to say. So I think if you Google cats that look like cats who look like Hitler or cats that look like Hitler, one of those two, you'll get to the site, and it's well worth your time. There's some good laughs on there.
And posted by someone in your neck of the woods in Queens, New York. American Dingbat posts her kitty cat. Looks like a little older kitty cat taking a nap. And it looks like she's also a Mac user because she took the picture of herself and her cat probably with her iMac.
Yeah, good times. Good times. The scarecrow writes in cats, ... thumbs down. So scarecrow is not a cat's lover.
Well, if you'd like to post your cat or see some of these great pets, go to the General Chit Chat Forum. Show us your kitties.
This brings us into breaking general news, and this is kind of interesting. They've run a study, apparently, and they found that the British are among the most sexually promiscuous in the entire world. And this is posted by Grover again in breaking general news. It says, British men and women are among the most promiscuous in the world, researchers have found. In an international index measuring one-night stands, total numbers of partners, and attitudes towards casual sex, Britain comes out ahead of America, Australia, France, the Netherlands, Italy, and Germany. The result has been linked to the decline of religious scruples, the growth of equal rights for women, and a highly sexualized popular culture. According to a survey, British men and women are among the most promiscuous in the world. Well, way to go, Britain. You've wanted something. That's great. And what a thing to excel at. I approve. Hands down. That's great.
And I would have thought it would have been Amsterdam, but what the heck do I know? You know? And the other thing is I have to blame the BBC. Yeah, just not a lot of great programming. So what are we going to do? Watch TV or make love?
Yeah.
Make love. Good choice. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to go with choice B on that one.
Grover posts, so much for a stiff upper lip. I want to move to Britain. It used to be that Australia topped that list. The article didn't say where the United States ranked, but as a society, we're saturated with sexual images, yet at the same time, we're often quite sexually repressed. Well, yeah, that's true. So, UK listeners to the BTS Mix, what do you think? Do you think you guys are the most sexually promiscuous? Do you like that label or not? Well, fill out your response in the breaking general news, British among the most sexually promiscuous in the world. And we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix Show right after this.
Question. What does the NSA, CIA, OSI, MI6, U.S. Secret Service, NASA, the Pentagon, EPA, the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, FEMA, the U.S. Department of State, the United States Navy, the United States Marines, the U.S. Army, United States Air Force, the United Kingdom House of Lords and House of Commons, Buckingham Palace, Forbes Magazine, Time, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, to name just a small few, have in common. Answer? These plus thousands of others have registered members and constant visitors to all three sites on the Above Network LLC. AboveTopSecret.com, BelowTopSecret.com, and AbovePolitics.com. Get smart. Be part of the revolution that is being heard around the world.
The BTS Mix Show.
But see, I like the way you talk. You're like Paddington Bear, but you're not a bear.
Now back to Spencer and Doc.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS. I am now back from England, and boy, that was fun.
He joined the British Air Mile High Club. Way to go, Doc.
That's right, and I did it all in about 15 minutes. That's how slick I am, I'll tell you.
It took 14 minutes to board. I'm sorry. Speaking of boarding, we're going to jump into the Relationships Forum, and we're going to hit Dwelling on the Past, Overanalyzing, How Do I Stop? You know, this is a great topic, Doc. And this one's posted by Prototism, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. Dwelling on the past or overanalyzing, how do I stop? Long story short, I know this wonderful girl. She's really changed me for the better in many ways. Not only is she physically beautiful, but she is also loving, understanding, compassionate, and intelligent. Additionally, We are on equal emotional levels regarding each other. Now, because she's so wonderful, I want the best for her. But underlying that desire, I want to be the best I can be for myself. I am many of the things that she is, except for physical beauty, of course, LOL. But my main problem is I dwell on the past and overanalyze. And, well, you know what? We all do that, I think. My question is, how do I not let the past ruin my future? And how do I stop overanalyzing? How do I stop letting the past get in the way of what I have with this wonderful young woman? I truly hate the fact that my mind never shuts up. And considering how much this girl means to me, I don't want to ruin anything there either. Please help.
Yeah, you know, I deal with it on a daily basis. And sometimes it's just getting into the discipline of saying, you know, keep it simple, stupid. And really, you know, I think life is always a lot easier if you can break complex things down into very simple elements and try and analyze them that way. Because, you know, face it, I mean, life is very complicated and relationships are very complicated. And everything around us, to a certain extent, is very, very complicated. And I think the more simple we can make everything for ourselves, philosophically, I think we're all a lot happier when that happens. So, you know, the best thing to do is just really, you know, make an effort and make a conscious effort every time, you know, a situation or a challenge presents itself. Try and simplify everything kind of down to its basic element, and I think you'll find, you know, the solution is usually a lot easier than it appears sometimes.
And sometimes it's hard work, and I'm there with you. I'm right now in the process of working through some things in my past that are affecting my current life. And I have to sit here and go, okay, when does that activate? When does that switch get thrown that I go into auto mode and start reacting instead of analyzing what's going on and just kind of living in that moment instead of jumping back to the past? And that is a tough thing to do. You've got to mentally discipline yourself to go, okay, I'm living in the moment. This isn't that former situation. I've learned from my mistakes of that former situation. But now I need to live in the present. I can't run on autopilot. I can't just let my mind just run and run and run and play those same looping tapes over and over again. I've got to make a stop at some point. And that can be very, very tough. It's like quitting smoking sometimes for some people. It's changing the way that you think. And it takes practice and it takes discipline, and it doesn't happen overnight. It would be great if it happened overnight, but it's work. But you can do it. You just have to change the way that you think and recognize those things that trigger those emotional responses in you that you don't necessarily like and take you back to the past.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of good responses here on BTS. And if you're interested in this topic, by all means, read through them. There's also, you know, thousands and thousands of books have been written about this. I'm sure that there are millions of articles online about it, all with really good advice, you know, because this is a very common thing in a lot of people. Overanalyze. They get too deep into things, and then they can't find their way out of it. So, you know, the resources are around. The best thing is, and I think this is an overriding theme between Spencer and I, is discipline. Just disciplining your mind to be able to handle those situations as they come. So good luck to you, Prototism. We're rooting for you.
And read Silver Flame's response to you. And I love this one. Maybe you should keep a journal and find the reason that you're doing this. That is great advice. And obviously, they wrote more, but keeping a journal and writing down your emotions, having an outlet, whether that be physical exercise or that be writing things down, there's something powerful about writing an emotional or a time in your life that you're trying to explain or a current situation that you're dealing with. There's something powerful about writing that down and then letting that go or burning the paper or something. There's, I don't know what it is. There's some kind of energy released when you pour that much emotion into something and you release it onto paper. And sometimes that will help you to let these things go too. So whatever, I along with Doc wish you the best and good luck with that. And you know, if you find a shortcut, let us know about it, because we could sure use it too.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of complicated situations, we now move into the rant forum. And this is posted by Lecter, and the thread, I think, says it all. So I have hired a secretary, ... And I think we kind of all know where this is going. And not 1 week has passed by when she started making googly eyes at me, and it progressed to where she would blatantly drop something and bend over to pick it up in front of me. She is very attractive, and my employees made remarks asking me about what is going on between us. Now, don't get me wrong, I like a pretty face just as much as the next guy, but I am married with two kids and have no interest in her. Now, how do I approach her and risk some type of harassment lawsuit? You never know how she will spin this thing if I do. What would you do? Well, this is obviously a very tough situation, and I think anybody who's ever run a business or, you know, been in charge of hiring and firing people, I think you always run into these types of, kind of awkward situations. And I think the best thing, you know, to do is, communicate clearly what behavior is considered in the office to be appropriate. And you know, it's one of two things. You probably had her sign an agreement saying that, you know, you can virtually terminate her for any reason. And if things aren't working out, I mean, I know you don't want to kick the poor girl out onto the street, but if you're being constantly put into situations that make you uncomfortable, you know, sexual harassment works both ways. And, you know, provided that you have not done anything to, you know, reciprocate this or to do anything to invite this sort of behavior, then you're in the clear, and you have one of two options. You can either let her go, or you can communicate with her and say, listen, this is what is appropriate and not appropriate in a working environment, and I would appreciate it if the behavior stopped, because I don't want this to go any further than what I think it's going. If I'm wrong, forgive me. I didn't mean to take things out of context, but if you are doing this intentionally, the behavior needs to stop. And I think you need to draw two very, you know, solid lines on this situation and, you know, nip it in the bud before it gets to a point where you are either ethically or legally or, you know, whatever. So that's my advice.
I laughed my butt off when I read Dodgy Geese's response. Three simple words. I am gay. Unless she knows you have a wife and kids. I don't recommend that. And I think, you know, Doc had some great advice there. And there's also some great advice posted on here. And then I go back to my advice. When you're dealing with a situation in the workplace that is this touchy, the business manager probably needs to be in on it. You know, unless you want to keep it private, but if you keep it private between you two and just say, you know, if I'm reading this wrong, whatever, digital recorders at Walmart, get them on sale, trample somebody to go buy one, but get one and have that with you. That way, at least you're CYA'd. I can't tell you how many times I've heard about these things going awry when somebody will make an accusation, then there's this being an investigation, and this person didn't do anything wrong. The other person just felt snubbed or felt scorned, and their advances weren't acknowledged, and all of a sudden they just feel like they have to be a Putin and use whatever legal means are necessary at their disposal, whether that be right or wrong, to hurt that other individual. Also, you've got to question, what are the motives here? Is this person just attracted? Is it innocent? Or does this person have an agenda? So there's a lot of things to consider, but one thing you need to do is protect yourself and make yourself very clear, and of course, put the family's photos very prominently out on your desk. I think that'll probably help too.
Yeah, you get some of those big cardboard stand-ups of all your family members and just have them sitting around the office.
Your wife with a rolling pin. Yeah, see her? Yeah.
Or yeah, or like a chain mail or something.
Sweet. That's kind of sexy.
She's trained in the ways of the ninja.
My wife's a ninja. Ooh. All right, let's jump over to the next thread, Doc.
Yes, and this is posted by Carl Hungus, and this is in our music section, which I'm glad to be revisiting. And Carl asks, so what is the worst song of all time? And I think this is a pretty fun thread here. What song out there do you consider to be the worst song ever? A song so bad that the mere mention of it will trigger your gag reflex. For me, it has to be Tub Thumper by Chumbawamba. And I'll kind of agree with that one. Chumbawamba, that song, a little overplayed and a little irritating.
I actually don't mind that song, but I did like I Am Marty's selection of Oh God, Who Can Remember, Push a Little Daisy. Oh my gosh. I wonder, can you hear this? I'm going to play part of this and see if you can actually hear this, Doc. Can you hear that?
No, I cannot.
All right, well, screw that then. It's probably good. I was going to, you know what, it sucked anyway, so I'm sparing you. So, but anyway, that song definitely was pretty bad, but I think you need to go by genres. I think every genre has its own particular bad song. For example, Christmas music. I shared this, I think, probably the last show. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Probably one of the worst songs ever written about Christmas.
Yeah, CMD 18B writes in, remember that he was like a weird white Jamaican rapper? He was very, very strange. That guy sucks real, real bad, so no good there. I'm going to go with Eddie Murphy's album. That was really horrible, you know. My girl likes to party all the time,
party all the time, party all the time. You know what, though? But yeah. We remember it. That's scary.
I also remember car accidents that I see driving home. You know?
That's
make it right.
Okay, okay. Well, if you're going to talk about car accidents, let's talk about Bill Shatner's album, okay, when he's doing Lucy in the Sky. Lucy in the Sky with Diamond.
Quite slowly, a girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with a sun in her eyes, and she's gone!
Boo.
That pretty much the cast of Star Trek doing anything musically, bad idea.
Rolling on the river. Cleaned a lot of plates in Memphis. I pumped a lot of pain down in New Orleans. But I never saw the good side of the city until I hitched a ride on the river.
Well, if you have a song that you think is a big stinker and the worst of all time, by all means, hop into our music forum and answer it. Post up a YouTube video. Share with us what you think is the worst song of all time. And now, my friend, drum roll, I think it is time for our BTS Mix screen test.
And you have it this week. It's going to be a tough one today, Doc. So I'm going to make it 5,000 BTS points. I'm going to play a clip of a movie. You need to tell us what the movie is, the title of this movie. All right, let me fire up the projector. Hang on, I got to plug it in here. All right. Listen carefully.
Yo, homie. Is that my briefcase?
Your briefcase? Yeah, it is. Why? You want it back?
I want your wallet.
What else you got for me?
Huh?
Okay. Okay.
There were many explosions.
The person that was threatening got their gun taken away, and they were shot with their own gun, which, you know, pretty much plays out in any parking lot these days around the holidays. So, do you know what that movie is? If you do, then it's worth 5,000 BTS points.
Yeah, man, that is a tough one. It's going to require some brain power.
All right, well, if you don't get it in the first few hours, well, then I'll give you a clue, and we'll kind of lead you along here. But that is going to be a tough one. I will tell you that I'm not going to give you any more clues right now. Yeah.
That's good, and I think well worth the 5,000 points. Well, Mr. Tracy, I do believe that is it for this week's edition of the BTS Mix Show. I know I sure had a good time.
I did, too, and it's good to be back. Of course, we took a little break for the holidays, and we are back. And, of course, be listening for lots of different shows that we've got coming up. All of us gathering together for the conglomeration of the Above Politics, ATS, and BTS shows all getting together on one line, which ought to be fairly entertaining. Check out the new Jim Mars book if you haven't. That's also fantastic. And don't forget, if you have not subscribed on iTunes, we make it really, really easy. Just look at the end of this particular post, and you'll see a way that you can RSS feed or subscribe to this show on iTunes.
Yeah, dude, it's like super easy. There's no reason not to do it.
So for this edition of the BTS Mix Show, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Be good to one another.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.